gentlemen, welcome to Laugh at the World Famous Hollywood Improv. Everyone make some noise. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, host and creator of Story Smash, Christine Blackburn.
Blackburn, and we have an amazing show planned for you guys tonight. By round of applause, who has never been to Story Smash? All these people over here are clapping, and you're the judges. What are you talking about? Listen, you guys, we're going to have a great time tonight. We're so glad you're here. We're going to get started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel and one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. And there are 3 spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, and they always do, then you guys can shout out your favorite story topics, and one of our expert judges will choose one of those topics to be the contestant's story, yes?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of topics?
Yes.
All right, speaking of expert judges, let's get to them right away. Our first judge is an actor, a comedian, and a musician. You've seen him on his reoccurring role on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm and also HBO's Crashing. And he's also been on other television shows like Transparent, Alone Together, Difficult People, and Love. And he's also written on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and numerous award shows. If that isn't enough, he's here right now, you guys. Please welcome back to Story Smash, Wayne Fetterman.
Thank you, thank you.
And the next judge coming to the stage, she has judged several Story Smashes, and she's also an actress who has appeared in feature films like Bridesmaids,
yes,
Blended, and Goosebumps 2 Haunted Halloween, and her television credits include Reno 911, Bob's Burgers, Schooled, and she's currently the star of the ABC hit comedy The Goldbergs, coming back this fall, and she's here right now. Put your hands together for Wendy McLeod. Beautiful. And our final judge, you guys, is an Emmy Award television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, coming back for its 11th and final season this fall. He also has a book out right now that I hold in my left hand. It's called He Started It, and it chronicles his Twitter war with our president, Donald Trump. He's here right now, our very favorite judge in the world, Mr. Danny Zucker!
First time judge.
All right.
I wish Wayne's credits were longer.
You guys, this is amazing. All 3 of you have judged this show before.
We have.
Yes.
And you're back.
We came
proudly
back.
So.
And you must like it.
Love it.
Good. That's good to hear. You guys know the rules, but let me throw them out to the folks out here. We will be playing 3 rounds of Story Smash tonight. In the first round, all 5 contestants will come to the stage, they'll spin the wheel, and then they'll tell a true 1-minute story. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Round 1, 1 minute.
1-1.
Round 2, same thing, but a true 2-minute story.
Following the pattern.
Okay. Then it's going to get a little more difficult because you guys have the very difficult decision of choosing 2 of these storytellers to go on to the 3rd round for a true 3-minute story. Yes?
So we eliminate some people.
We do eliminate some people. That's exactly
that's
right.
Painful.
Someone's keeping track of the time.
And yes, Jim Coughlin right down here, he's keeping track of the time.
Is there any penalty for going over?
There is a penalty. If, in fact, they go over their time, they'll hear this.
A shaking glass?
Something like that. Yeah, a shaking glass or that. And then we go right to the judges. Then the story's over, and you guys, you just jump in.
Wow, okay.
So they're watching the time. We're watching the time. You guys are just listening. Yes? Mm-hmm. When the folks come to the stage, I'll say, tell them what to do, and then you'll say,
spin that wheel.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I think they'll get it as we go along. All right, you guys, this first contestant coming to the stage right now, she is currently the voice of the character Roxy on BoJack Horseman. And she also hosts her own hit monthly show, Eat, Pray, Fuck, right here at the Improv. And she's the creator and the star of the web series Bitter Homes and Gardens, which won the best comedy at the Palm Springs Film Festival. You guys, put your hands together for the talented Fielding Edlow.
Yes.
All right, you guys, tell her what to do. Okay. A little harder than that. A little harder than that.
Again.
All the way around. All the way around. All right. There it goes.
All right. Sorry. That's too gentle. I wanted to please you.
Yeah, this is good.
I was gay for a month, and I had a girlfriend, because they called me Baby Dyke in this casting office, whatever. And we would, basically all we did was watch documentaries on Yemen and, like, participate in gentle scissoring. And it was fun, and, you know, but we would be hooking up, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm gay adjacent, or politically I'm a lesbian. I wasn't sure, you know. So I would be hooking up with her, and she would, like, stop and be like, oh my god, your boots are so much better than mine. And I'd be like, well, I mean, you're hot, but your nipples are bigger than Sater Place. But that's okay. But anyways, I'm a feminist, by the way. I don't want you all judging me. Okay, so then I was told that you can break up if you haven't been going out longer than a month. So I called Marnie, and yes, that's right. And I said, hey, this has been great. It's not you. I just feel like I'm not maybe gay. Or I love, you know what I mean? And I love you. Oh my god. And then she was like, okay, I got you. And then 2 weeks ago, I reached out to Facebook friend her, and she denied me. And I was like, fuck you, we scissor. Okay?
Yes! Fielding Edlow! What a way to kick it off.
Here, we'll keep you on the microphone for a minute.
What do you think, Wendy McLennan Covey?
Gentle scissoring. That's what's going to stick in my mind forever. And also, you can break up if you haven't been going out longer than a month.
On the phone, sorry.
Oh, on the phone. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I think you can do it anyway. Okay.
That was a real omission there.
All
sorry.
Right. Well, you packed a lot of punch into that minute.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was loaded. That was Herbie fully loaded. That was amazing. I've been thinking about this a lot, about the gay thing. And not just in my search history. I've been, but the idea of, like, having to, see, so for you it's about boobies and all that, but, like, the idea that, like, I would have to be, if I'm in a relationship, I was asking my gay friends about this, do I have to have the same size penis, or is there a power dynamic shift? Mm-hmm. And that's just a lot of pressure for somebody like me, with such a large, no. So, you made me laugh, but you made me think, too.
Yeah, and that's a nice story,
yeah,
you know,
great job.
When that happens. Wayne Fetterman.
I thought you were on topic the whole time. I thought it was great. I learned a little about you that I didn't know. That you could be gentle. And I loved it. I don't know what to say. I do have questions about,
yeah,
but they're inappropriate for a good thing.
All right, let her hear you guys. Fielding Edlow. Coming right now to the stage, you guys, for a true 1 minute story. This contestant is a touring comedian who just returned from an extensive European tour. She's a host and creator of her own podcast, Be Here for a While, and she also co-hosts the very popular Screwed Up Stories with Christine Blackburn. And she's here right now, you guys. She's here right now. Put your hands together for Rachel O'Brien.
Rachel!
Yeah! Woo! Probably one of you, you guys.
Yes.
Yes. Stop yelling at me.
Then the clock will start.
Okay, story starting now. Okay, so when I was in college with a fake ID, I decided to get super drunk and then sit outside of the police station when I made this phone call. Called one of my friends named Diani and left her a voicemail that will live in infamy for forever. I was like, Diani, this is my first message, second message, most important. I'm with the person I'm calling. I'm like, I'm with Diani, Sabrina, and we're looking for you. Are you okay? And then I just go, find me, find me, find me. I'm scared. And I still drink that much now. Ooh, okay, I didn't even tell a long enough one for that. Well, I think shortly later that week, I was also, I called her to talk about this today. I was like, what was that story again? She goes, well, I think your worst story is when you said that you woke up in a closet in a bearskin rug wrapped around you. And I was like, what a handsome, wonderful man that put that around me. He must have killed the bear with his bare hands and just wanted me to be cozy.
Rachel O'Brien, perfect. You see what she did there with the time? She realized she had a little more time, and then she took it.
It was like, second joke.
Oh, come on over here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you go in and a movie will go in, they'll test it, and then you have to go into reshoots and fill it out. And I felt like it was seamlessly two stories.
Thank you.
But they were both on topic, and you should seek help for your drinking
problem. it's leveled off.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wayne Fetterman.
Well, first of all, congratulations on leveling off your drinking problem.
Thank you.
Still sounds like a problem the way
you said. I was 19.
Oh, okay.
I'm 33.
Oh, wow.
I go to bed at 10 p.m. now.
Why is that?
Because I love to sleep. Because it's joyful.
Yeah, no, I'm a napper, but not that early at night. So first of all, I've never been in a drunk tank. Tell me exactly what that means.
I think that means you got a DUI, but I didn't ever had one, so I don't know. Is that what that means?
You've been arrested, and you were outside a police station.
Yeah, but I got away with it because I'm charming.
Yeah,
no, you are charming. They didn't see me.
Obviously.
And I looked way older than I was, so my fake ID was believable.
Interesting. Wendy?
I'd say that getting drunk, like, right in front of the police station is like when you're boxing and you just go right in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can't punch you because you're just right there.
I'm
a good explainer of sport.
It's a strategy.
But I'd say you're living your best life now. And by the way, the human brain does not stop developing until 25. So don't get blackout drunk when you're 19. Wait until you're in your
30s. There you go.
Okay, that's great advice.
The more you know.
All right, tonight.
Rachel O'Brien, let her hear you guys.
Oh.
All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is... Oh, it's our audience member! Jim Coughlin, bring up the cup of names.
Oh.
Andy Zucker is going to call up his audience member. You guys, you have
everyone?
Really kind. This is not an easy thing to do.
We're waiting for people to find out. I can't read.
Functionally illiterate.
I can read this, but he's got an awesome name. Mike Rad.
All right, Mike Rad, come on up to the stage.
Mike Rad. I love you guys. Give him a lot
of love. This is not easy whatsoever. Here he comes. Mike
Rad. He looks rad. Oh. Tell
him what to do, guys. Rad.
Rad. Rad. Breakup.
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 Do they have to do it again?
No, because he didn't break up with... With Fielding.
Unless you did gentle scissoring.
Were you?
Okay, Radovich. She...
All together, new breakup.
Okay, let's see. Okay, that has to go near your mouth.
Okay, when I was in college, I first saw this girl that I was in love with at first sight. Her name was Alicia. And I wanted to marry her, but she was dating my best friend, so I dated her best friend. And we became really good friends, and my roommate was cheating on her the whole time, but I couldn't tell her. So I just would kind of go, I don't know, you know, he's not that good for you. And I would just try and do things without ruining my loyalty of the roommate that I lived with. And then finally, I got to go out with her, and we went out. I was in love. I came back, and she was with another guy after the summer. And she goes, I love you both. I can't choose. And I go, well, I can choose, not you. So, how much time do we have?
Yeah.
I made it.
All right, Mike Rad, let him hear it, Mike Rad.
That's amazing. Okay, so audience member coming in, and then what we call in the business, you have like the last joke of a scene, we call that the blow, and you had like an amazing blow to that scene. What a great joke.
Yeah.
To end
good.
That was, I dare say, rad.
Wayne Fetterman.
Okay, I just have a question for you. Nothing to do with that. So that's not called a button?
No, we call them a blow. Sometimes it's a button, but you know, in comedy writing rooms, we usually call it a blow.
A blow.
Yeah,
what do you guys call it on the Goldbergs?
Yeah, what happens over there?
I don't know.
A laugh?
A blow button. But I enjoyed that story. That made me laugh out loud. That was a spontaneous guffaw. Because it came out of my mouth. I loved it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you know what? Girls are trying to do that. Say, oh, I know you're in love with me, but let's just be friends. Just be like special friends. The kind that, you know, one does everything for the other, and then I will ignore you most of the time. You did the right thing.
Is that the last time you saw Alicia?
No.
What happened? How did it all end?
She's married with kids, but I saw her. She came out to California one time with me. And I just wanted to see if I had the same feeling for her with that.
But she let herself go. I wish I could say that.
Are you friends with her on Facebook?
No, we're not allowed to be because she's married.
Oh.
What?
You
That's a rule?
Her rule, I guess. Yeah.
Mike
okay.
Brad, let him hear it. Mike Brad.
So many questions. I just want to talk.
That was blue.
That story was like a romantic comedy. Yeah,
that was incredible.
I'll just take the roommate, the new mirror.
Woody Allen.
Exactly.
All right, you guys, come to the stage right now. This contestant, he's an actor and a comedian, and you've seen him on Two Broke Girls, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and countless national commercials, including Sprint Family, Powerade, and Nike. Please welcome to the stage the very talented Mike Ivey.
Yeah,
Mike. Here's what happens. The audience is going to throw out some story suggestions, and then these folks behind me are going to decide which story for you to tell. Okay? So what suggestions do you have today for Mike Ivey, guys?
Concerts.
Vacation.
Vacation? Well, vacation's already on the way. What?
Puberty.
Exercise.
Passport.
Intense. Exercise.
Losing your virginity.
Airport.
Dancing.
Foreigners.
Anything coming out, you guys?
Did I hear Albatross?
I did not hear Albatross.
Okay, I thought it would be a good story. Keep going.
Concerts? You have a good concert story?
Feel good about that?
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
That's it. Give them a big round of applause. This is not easy.
It's a kind of concert story. I went to the University of Massachusetts, and that's where I started doing comedy. And my first big comedy job was opening for Papa John Preach, who was like this great blues singer, and was like a big thing for me. And I go out there, and there's like 8,000 people, and they all hate me. And they won't let me. They're looking at me kind of like you're looking at me now. Except the ones that were screaming, "Get off! Get off!" And so at the end, I go back and I talk to Papa John Creech's wife, and she's telling me, "You know, you shouldn't have went into the profanity thing. You did that too quick." And she's like 80 years old, and she's got all this cocaine.
Mike Ivey, let me hear it, guys. Perfect, perfect time, 59 seconds. So that was amazing. Fetterman?
Well, first of all, everyone knows you don't swear in front of Papa John's audience. Everyone knows that in the business. Two, he went on to make great pizza.
Yeah.
You... And become a crazy racist, right?
Yeah, kind of transitioning before our eyes, actually.
How long did you have to do? I'm just curious. How long was that over?
I was supposed to do like 20 minutes. The football team had to save me because the people wanted to kill me.
Let me just say this. He is a blues singer, so you learned a little about the blues that night.
It was a scary thing for my first time in front of this big crowd. I'm like, this is going to be great. Not.
So now I have a question. You just whip out the football team. Had to save me. Why was there a football team there?
Because they were there. They were at the. They were like security guards and stuff.
Oh.
Some of them were friends of mine, And when these people came after me, they were gonna.
So it's like a Hell's Angels.
Yeah, yeah, like this was your Altamont.
No, I'm a very likable guy.
No, I know. You don't have to tell us.
Yeah,
but
we know that.
We're having a love affair with you right now.
All right, you guys, let him hear it. My God, right here, right here. Anything on that?
Oh, just that always listen to your 80-year-old elders, and all roads lead to cocaine.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys.
Look at you now.
Our final contestant coming to the stage. This is another true one-minute story. He's our final contestant for the one-minute story, and he's been a working actor for the past 30 years. He has had over 40 appearances in television and film, and this is very exciting. He just finished his very first feature film that he wrote and he directed. It's called Life Support, and it will be opening at the very end of the summer at a theater near you. Please put your hands together for Larry Clark.
Yay!
Ooh, all right, tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Thank you. Hi, judges.
Hi, Larry. I had asked him what was that Alanis Morissette song.
I think there should be judges for the judges.
I'm judging.
I'm supposed to judge.
How ironic.
Okay, I'll tell a story.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, it's begun. I used to wait at Fiorillo's restaurant across from Lincoln Center. The celebrities would come in all the time. It was in the 1980s. And, no, this was 1995, and Matt Dillon used to come in every day. Matt Dillon used to come in, and he used to always have his New York Post out and a load of cash, and he'd be looking at the horse races, and I would be like, wow, Matt Dillon's at my station. And, I was back in those days, I actually thought that waiting on someone was kind of like a break. But it wasn't. Anyway, a few months later, I got cast in my first movie, In and Out. And it was my first movie, and Matt Dillon was in it. And I met him at the craft services table.
Yeah.
And he looked at me very strangely, and he was like, and I was like, hey, what's going on? And he goes, hey, who are you? And what are you doing here? And I go, I'm playing Cousin Ernie. And he goes, oh, yeah, right. But I didn't mention that I had been waiting on him for 2 years at Lincoln Center. So, bam!
Larry Clark, let him hear it. Larry Clark.
Larry, that's incredible.
Great time.
And I have to say, I love the way he tied in and out
yeah.
with the food topic.
Yes.
That was incredible. And they moved. They went on to make great burgers.
Wendy!
I love that story. I never got to work. I never worked in food service, so I've never had that that thing where you're waiting on someone that you eventually work with. But I did. So you did bring that up to him, or you didn't?
I didn't mention it. I tried to act like I was a working actor, but...
Was he nice to you?
Not particularly.
At the restaurant?
Not particularly.
Was he a tipper?
He's a tipper.
Okay.
But he had a lot of cash. I wanted to... Right.
Yeah. Right.
Did he have his raisin form there?
Not on set.
No. I mean, he seems like a funny guy.
He's standing right in front
no,
of you.
No.
I'm sorry.
Funny? No, you're very funny. You're very funny. God, I don't have anything to add. I'm out.
Right,
I thought it was a really great story.
No, that's an amazing. You meet the celebrity and then you have to work with them. That's crazy. I wish he was a nicer guy.
Me too?
Larry Clark,
the one
Larry Clark.
Name the picture, make the podcast.
All right, you guys, all five names go back into the jar for the true two-minute story in the second round. Is that five? One, two, three,
oh, no.
Four.
Oh, no, here's audience members.
Oh,
sorry.
See, there we go. We don't want to forget Mike Rad.
I voted on this.
All right, you guys, so here we go. This is a true two-minute story. They're coming to the stage right now. It's twice the fun. Are you guys ready for it?
Yeah.
So ready.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is the one and only Mike Ivey. Let him hear it.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Tell him what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It works every time.
I'm
supposed to tell a story about Harley Weidner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're looking at me, but that's the story.
I thought it had something to do with you. Don't judge me, Fetterman. So, here's a crazy thing about Harley Weidner, I guess, maybe. When you go to these auditions for the commercials, you actually see the same people every time. Every time, there's like five guys that look just like you and two of them are wearing your clothes. I don't know how I ever get booked, you know, because I'm like, I get in there and I act like I don't know anything, you know. Hey, Mike, did you know you were a director's request? What's that mean? So people hate me, you know. I do stuff like, I go to an audition and I say, wow, this is in Santa Monica at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I better get this. All the other actors look at me and they go, you can't say that. I'm like, why the fuck can I say that? Say what you want to. If you get the job, you still got it. That's it. Just, wow, that's only a little bit.
Mike Ivey.
I got a little longer story.
I have a little
longer story. I meant to get some good stories for this tonight since it was a storytelling show, but like everything else in my life, I fuck it up. Aww. Not on purpose. Just a loser. So that's it.
M. Night Shyamalan ending. I'm weeping.
I mean, yeah. It took a really sad turn.
It was really weird.
And then I liked when you told us, when everybody went, aw, your way to make us all feel better was, no, I don't fuck it up on purpose. I'm just a loser. I think were your exact words. Oh, well, now I don't feel so bad.
Wayne Fetterman.
Well, first of all, I know exactly what he's talking about because you know exactly what you look like if you ever audition for a commercial because they cast by type. So and no matter what, and, oh, you're good looking, and you go in and Eddie Deason is next to you. That's good. Thank you. Anyway, great story, and thanks for opening up.
A little bit of pain. Wendy?
Auditioning for commercials is soul crushing.
Yeah.
And yeah, traveling out to Santa Monica, you know, or Abbott Kinney.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't care if this is international. I'm not doing it.
Is that the one where you have to go up the steps?
That's the Abbott Kinney one.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Second floor.
Yeah.
Danny? Do you audition much?
Well, no, I got tired of running into Antonio Banderas.
For me, that was just I get it a lot.
All right, guys, Mike Ivey, let him hear it.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage for a true 2-minute story is the one and only Larry Clark. Larry Clark! All right, let him hear it, you guys. Tell him what to do.
Horse after this.
Give him a round of applause.
Massage and a horse. Okay, road rage. I've been in LA a long time, 17 years, so I have a little bit of experience with this. But this was a strange one. I remember going up the 101 North. I was in a hurry, and I passed in front of a car. It was a van, and this guy flipped out, and he honked, and he went right in front of me, and he was pissed that I passed him. And I was like, you son of a bitch. And I got angry. He was obviously angry. I pulled up beside him, and I didn't want to do the typical thing, which is to give somebody the bird. You know, I've realized what really pisses off people, if you want to get somebody, piss somebody off, smile at them. It looks demonic and it drives them crazy. Well, I did something even worse. I noticed as he was driving, speeding, he was shaving. A dry shave. His shave, he was. And I looked at him and I went. And he went ballistic. He just went. I watched him and I laughed and I drove away. Anyway, he followed me. He followed me. I was like, oh my God. I had a bat in the car too. I was like, man, this is going to go down. And I get in and I pull off. It was, and I pull off right off Ventura. And I pull over and I get out of the car and I go, what? I realized, and he was white. He was a white dude. So I wasn't going to get out if he was like a Latino dude. Or I was like, I can't handle this guy. You know, he looked like he's not my age. And I was like, I can mix it up with him. So I get out and I go, what up? And he goes, what up? And I can tell immediately we both felt horrible getting out of our car. Like, we're not going to fight. And then I was in Law and Order at that time, and I think he looked at me and recognized me right away and wanted to go, hey. And then I was like, no, hey. And then he kind of wanted to shake hands or something. I'm not shaking your hand. I was like, just get in our cars. It was a horrible. It was a horrible road rage. We didn't have any rage.
Larry Clark, how about that? That was a great story. Stay here. That, like, it had, like, there was humor. There was fear.
There was racism. I mean, it had everything. Yeah, everything.
Check
I love
many
it.
Boxes, many boxes.
Everything I love in a story. That was a tour de force.
And it was an audience choice, so that was right out of right out of the air. Wendy,
what a gift you've given us. That was very masculine. It's a very masculine story.
Yeah. Sediment.
Well, I've never been in a situation where I've gotten out of a car and faced off with a white guy, but. Sounds very brave of you. Sounds very brave. A white guy who has an electric razor knife. We know those guys.
Oh my God, they're bad news.
Whoa.
Cross the street.
Let him hear it, you guys. Larry Clark, let him hear it. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is... Oh, look at that. It's our audience member, Mike Brad. Yeah. Here he comes, guys. Woo! Where is he? There he is. Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Go on out there.
Hope he's seen.
Food.
Food.
Okay, I try to be, have a good diet. You know, not eat bad. If my girlfriend, she likes snacks, so I keep them in the house. And then if they're in the house, I eat them. And she's always like, "You need rations." So, but then she gets mad that I don't keep food in the house because I want to starve myself. And then she's like, "You don't have food for me," but I just don't have any control if it's there. But in a restaurant, I'm good. Like, I won't order the bread or the dessert. But then, you know, I'll get home and I, you know, need rations. And and I've been really trying to work on it. So then I thought, maybe I'll just get stuff that she likes that I don't like. But then I start to like it. So I just start to eat it, and she's like, "I thought you didn't like jalapeno potato chips." I was like, "What? They're delicious." Especially when you're like watching Netflix or something, I'm just like, "Okay, I'll just have a couple," and then I look, and then there's the bag's gone. So, I don't know. How much time?
Not a minute. Shit.
Do you ever get that thing where you get sick and you think you have food poisoning, but you're not sure if it's what you ate and you're trying to go back to where it is? There's a restaurant I blamed that now that I think about it, it wasn't them. I really had a virus. And I went in there loud and said, I'm not eating here anymore. Your salmon salad did this to me. And they're like, what? It was fresh. I'm like, no, it's farm fresh. It's not right. And they were like, we have this big argument. And then I went to the doctor and he goes, you got a virus. And I was like, I gotta go apologize. So I went in and apologized. Mike Rad,
let him hear it. That was a great story. That was a good story. Wendy, you could not keep your mouth shut.
You apologized.
Yeah.
That's a big man.
Yeah.
And what did they say?
They were like, we know you took it, you know, they really took the apology.
Okay.
And they were still mad at me. They were like, you did it in front of customers. Yeah. We probably lost customers for what you did.
Yeah.
And I go, but isn't there something to owning up to it? They were like, no.
Fetterman.
Wait, I don't know. How long between the time you rage at the salmon restaurant that you're not naming for some reason, the same as till you went to the doctor, found out it wasn't, and then went back to apologize?
Like 4 days, 5 days? Not even a full week.
Interesting.
So what was the name of the restaurant?
It's the one on Kawanga and,
Oh, Salmonella?
Ebola?
It's on the corner of Kawanga
and Diarrhea.
Kawanga and what?
Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a cafe type thing.
Okay, Danny, anything else?
No, You told two good stories in that 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You're an audience member. You're nothing. I wouldn't say hi to you on the street, but look what you did.
Mike Brad, big round of applause. Come on.
Eight on the eight. Okay, on the
eight. Wow. That's exactly right. All right, you guys. Coming up right now for a true 2 minute story is Rachel O'Brien. Rachel!
Yay! Woo! Now we go.
I thought it was a better spin.
Less aggressive?
Yeah, less aggressive. Off-putting.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Holidays.
Holidays. Okay.
So close.
All right. Holidays. Holidays have, they've definitely made me realize where I stand as a human within my family, specifically with my mom. Now, my sister, well, you know, being way too young to get pregnant out of wedlock, did. At 23, had some kids. She's married to the guy, though, so it's fine. That seems obviously way better than single 33-year-old Rachel, you know? I'm still bitter about it. The kids are like 12 and 14. I don't know. I can't keep track. They're lovely. And so I go home for the holidays. My parents... have a house in La Quinta, that's where we usually do the holidays. I'm just bragging that I'm rich. And, so I go, and my mom's like, okay, so Tally and Mark, that's my sister and husband, they'll stay in the front room. Isabel and Elias will have this room, and then Rachel, we have a trundle bed for you by the garage. Oh, I was like, well, I mean, normally, like, why can't the kids sleep near there? And she goes, oh my God, Ray, what about the gas fumes from the garage? I'm also human, so pretty sure if we had some leaking gas fumes from cars going into the house, I would also be affected. Like, just the most bullshit lie ever, just to be like, you know what, I like the grandkids better than you. Also, they haven't had me yet. She does this with pets, too. Another time I was home, different house, and...
we have a dog, and she was out in the garage putting the dog to sleep, like canoodling him to sleep. And I went out to get a water bottle, and she goes, "Ray, you just woke him up, and I almost had him to sleep." I was like, "Should I just leave? Do you want me to sleep outside? I don't know, Cindy." I guess that's it. I got like 10 seconds left.
Rachel O'Brien, right, there you go. There you go. Stay with us.
A lot of rage. So I didn't quite understand, just so for clarification, is this your mom had kids at a wedding?
No, my sister did, sorry. So I was like, it wasn't even like the best way that she had kids.
Oh, I see.
But like,
it's still
superior to
right,
single.
Even that, yeah.
It's like, okay. You sleep in the garage, Rach.
Yeah, I gotcha.
No respect.
We're just clarifying.
Thank I thought you. I was a father of daughters. I would much rather have the single child than the whore who has the best wedding.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you. Please call my mom.
I'm going to right now. I owe her a call.
You do. Yeah. Wendy, what do you think?
And I prefer my dog to any grandkids or daughters. So I understand what your mom goes through.
I know.
That was good.
Thank you.
It was very good. Thank you for reminding us you're rich. That
was good. All right, you guys, Rachel O'Brien. Let her hear it. Rachel O'Brien.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now, you guys, put your hands together for Fielding Edlow. Yay! Yay! And you guys, tell them what to do.
Bring the hair
weird. Everybody has that story.
Can we just say that Larry's my husband? Do you guys know that? Yeah, and I just forgot. I'll use up my time. I just want to say something, if that's okay. I don't know that the Law and Order person recognized you. Okay. No, I don't know about that. Okay, whatever. We love each other. We're like one dead cat away from divorce. Okay, we're like one unvalidated ArcLight parking ticket away from somebody getting anthrax. Okay, I'm not. This is my time. Okay, Hollywood. Okay, so I was pregnant, and I get a call because somehow Larry's had a relationship with the Steven Soderbergh casting director and knew about me, whatever. I'm like, look at me, I look like a fucking disgruntled PA, like on the set of Fuller House. But anyway, so I get this call, and they're like, hey, I just had my morning pages, so I was like available and open. And they're like, hey, Philly, this is your lucky day, this is blah, blah, blah. I work with Steven, we're casting Magic Mike. Hey, you're going to get a lap dance from Channing Tatum. Right? And think about it. Fielding and Channing. And then he's single now. Okay, anyway. So I was like, oh my fucking God. So it comes up, and then I'm pregnant. And I'm like, I go to my trailer, and the costumier, I don't know. You can tell I work a lot. So I don't even know what to call them. Whatever. And she's like, oh. Like, she looked at me. And I didn't want to fucking tell her. Because I'm like, IMDb credit, accidental miscarriage. Just joking, but like, because he's going to throw me up in the air, right? So I don't know what's worse in Hollywood, being like 9 weeks pregnant or like 10 pounds overweight, you know what I mean? But finally, like, what is worse? So finally I'm like, because I'm in 25 12-step programs and rigorously honest, I'm like, I'm pregnant. And she goes, okay. And the headsets start going up, and they're like, we gotta move her. She can't be center in the center shot anymore. So they fucking move me, and my kid is a cock block. Literally. Okay? She's literally a cock block, and her Hebrew name is cock block.
Fielding Edlow. Great story. Fielding Edlow. How about that? Wow. Okay, Futterman?
That's a dilemma. Does IMDb credit you? Hard report. So what happened? Are you in? Do you get any? Were you coming out of the movie?
I'm uncredited club girl.
Aww.
I know!
Do you get residuals?
Yes, like 8 cents.
You're saying that's a lot?
No, I mean, $2.
Yeah.
I mean, literally,
right.
$2.
How was the dance?
I was wet the entire time. It was ridiculous. Sorry, Larry.
I know that casting director. And I was also cut out of Magic Mike.
Oh.
And I also I stayed in the cut long enough to get a couple of cents every, 3 months, whatever
right.
it is.
Wow.
So I feel your pain.
Thank you.
This is so weird. So
oh, yeah.
Who is it?
Joe Manganiello and I are up for Magic Mike. And I didn't get it. It was
bullshit.
Down to the wire. Yeah. And that motherfucker cannot dance.
That is Hollyweird.
That's Hollyweird.
That is Hollyweird.
That's a great story. And you guys are married. You should have led with that. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's information right there. All right, Phil Nagel, let her hear it. Phil Nagel. All right, that was exciting. That was great. Okay, you guys, so we've got five names here, and you guys are going to take two of them and put them in this jar, and then those two people are moving on for round three. So put a minute on the clock, and you guys go ahead and do that. And I just want to tell you and have you give a big round of applause to some of the people here helping me out, including Julian in the back. Julian, on sound. Thank you, Julian. Clapping, clapping. Julie at the bar. There's Julie. Oh, look, John's at the bar. He's our new manager here at Improv. Hey, John. We've got Lindsay at the box office. Thanks, Lindsay. Say hello to Lindsay on the way out. And Jim Coughlin right here to my right. A very good friend. Always helping me out. You know, this is our 22nd show in a row here at Hollywood Improv. And we're going to be celebrating our two-year anniversary this July. But meantime, we will be back June 22nd right here in this room. It's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. So come back for that. I also want to tell you guys that this show that you're hearing right now will be up on the Story Worthy podcast in just a couple of weeks, so you can share it with your friends and your family, storyworthypodcast.com, and also, of course, wherever you hear your podcast. All right.
Wow, this was...
It was very tough. We had a... Yeah, that was very tough.
Well, was it a consensus?
Well, no. I came to these guys. I would not have picked either of these two people. I'm adamantly against it.
Really,
I hate to throw the word... motherfucker around, so clearly, but...
Yeah. We had a project we were going to do together, and
now
it's off.
Not anymore.
Okay, well, I forgot to mention that the winner of the show tonight gets my homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah!
So there is something involved here.
They're really good.
They really are. All
this
right,
body
guys.
Doesn't just happen.
Coming to the stage right now for a true three-minute story is the one and only Larry Clark. Larry!
Yay!
All
right,
guys, tell them what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God,
what
is
this?
Minutes. That's a long time.
Have at it, Mr. Edlow. Right. I didn't vote for you. Let's see what
happens. Prove us wrong.
Free.
Free.
You can pick any topic.
From the wheel.
From the wheel.
Any topic from the wheel,
free.
Except the word free.
Well, that'd make a good story, too, Letterman.
I don't have anything.
Oh,
just kidding. Okay, free. Well, you know, I'm going to choose Hollyweird.
Hollyweird.
Jeez.
A lot of Hollyweird experiences in my life. And I'm going to, and it's also another food one, ironically.
So pointed.
After I got finished shooting In-N-Out, it's like a continuation of that story. I was on that set for 3 months. Okay, it's my first movie, and again, I was pretending I was an actor there the whole time. I was like acting like I was an actor. I was really a cater waiter and a regular waiter. And I had quit my waitering job, but I knew Kevin Kline. I also used to wait on him too at Fiorello's, but I never mentioned it to him. So Kevin always kind of thought I was, everyone thought I was an actor, you know, but I wasn't. It was my first job. And when we did the camera setup, I didn't tell him it was my first close-up with and Frank Oz was directing. So anyway, we wrap. I had worked every week on the movie. I'd made a lot of money because I was in the family, and I wound up with one line in the entire movie. One line. And also the other person that shares that is Selma Blair. Selma Blair was her first movie as well, and we were all in the family. We were all in this like large cousins area. So I thought I was just going to keep working and things were going to go great. I had blown all my money, and I had nothing. I had to call my catering company, and they were like, "Listen, come on back. We're here for you." So I go to Lincoln Center across the street. They're doing an opening. And they're doing the opening, and these were common for me. They used about 3-4 waiters. Small opening. It's a press opening for a new movie. It's called Ice Storm. And he says the celebrities are going to be coming in. Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Kline. And I went, oh, my God. I hadn't seen Kevin since I shot the movie. And again, I was getting a big shot. And here I am in a tuxedo and behind the bar. And there's only one bartender. And the captain goes, oh, my God, Larry, I forgot. He goes, I can send you across the street to another party. And I went, no. 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 I'm not going to apologize for who I am. So, Kevin, really interesting guy, great guy. He walked in the door, and I'm behind, I'm in my tuxedo. He walked in the door, and he's an amazing actor in life as well. Because he walked in and pretended he didn't see me. And he went, okay. And he kind of did not look at me the entire time he was in the room, because I think he felt so uncomfortable. The room filled up with people. Kevin walked over, and he ordered a Pellegrino, and he tried again, not looking in my eyes. And I said, congratulations, Mr. Klein, on the number one movie in America, In-N-Out. He went, hey, it's you. And I go, yeah. And I didn't act. I didn't apologize for what I was doing. I held my ground. And at the end of the party, Kevin was at the door, and he looked at me, and he went like this, you know, kind of like, give one for the Gipper. And I was really proud of myself, but it was definitely Hollywood weird.
Definitely Larry Clark, there it is. Look, that's the way it's done.
Right on.
I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Seems like it's, I know that topic's Hollywood. It seemed like the entire story took place in New York.
It was New York. It was New York. What are you going
to
do?
I think I know that restaurant. I think that's the final scene from Annie Hall. Through the window of that restaurant.
Where they pull the smoke out.
Okay, Danny Zucker.
I mean, it's very sad. It was sort of the story. It reminded me of the Harry Chapin song Taxi. In that, you know, they were high school sweethearts and she went on to great success and he was driving a taxi like a total loser.
Taking tips and getting stoned.
Then there's that weird section in the middle where they go, didn't have that.
Yeah, that's good.
I went on a tangent. Look, you landed on your feet. You got a great wife now. It's all working out, so congratulations.
Wendy? Classic Holly Weird story, very inspirational, and never apologize for getting your rent paid.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right, Fetterman? Anything else?
No comment.
Just one joke?
I didn't vote for this guy.
Okay. Larry Clark, want to hear it.
I want to see him up here.
And the final contestant coming up right now for a true three-minute story is... the one and only Fielding Edlow.
What?
Fielding! Woo! The wife! Let her hear it!
And that wheel.
There you go. There she goes.
Be trouble.
I was pulling for you on this.
I felt like you were.
But they were like, she didn't do great. And I go, I know. I've seen her before, though. And she's going to do fantastic.
She's going to do fantastic, even though she just landed on audience.
Oh, boy.
And so, again, she's going to have to think quick on her feet. What topics would you guys like to hear?
Doctor's office.
Scissoring. Doctor's office.
Bad hair day.
Dressing room.
Menstruation.
Menstruation?
Come on, guys.
What else? Come on. Welcome back.
Instant karma.
High school landlords.
I think it's kind of disgusting that somebody would shout out menstruation.
I know.
Do menstruation.
Menstruation, here we go. Big round of applause. Come on, guys.
I am not endorsing this at all. Sex-positive feminist.
Thank you. I'm a feminist, too. A women's studies minor, but a double major. Yeah, bukkake and coke. But anyway, okay. So I grew up in New York City, and just so you know, by the end of kindergarten, you're like a fucking 45-year-old emotionally broken divorcee. I was a slut, but I also was a gymnast, so I got my period very late. Well, late, I mean 14, not like everyone. Every girl now is like 5, right? Because it's, I don't know what's happening, it's fucked. So I got my period at Saskia's house. I had Dutch friends, thank you. And then she told everyone. So I'm just saying the menstruation stage, okay? So I'm shamed. Oh, I fucked before I got my period. That's what kind of slut I was. Yeah, on a bathroom floor. And he told me, we're not going out, just so you know. And I was like, thanks, Luke. You look like fucking Hitler's youth group, you fucking asshole. Okay, anyway. So, and I'm a feminist. Thank you. So, later on, I'm in therapy now. a lot of therapy, a lot of Tulsa. Okay, and I'm in this mode where I'm just free. Like, I've been seeing Dr. Spain on the Upper West Side for a long time. She saved my life, actually. Thank you. I don't know, I keep saying thank you. And so we're close, and I'm just in one of my, like, I'm just free. I'm like, I just don't care. And I have my period, and I don't know if I had a tab on him, but it should have been checked, let's say, before the session. Should have been checked. So I go in, we have a great session. I think I almost have a couple breakthroughs. Dad is, you know, emotionally unavailable. My mother is a part-time therapist / stay-at-home narcissist, and she's awful. But they did the best they could, and the best they could was terrible. But that's okay. I love them now. So I get up from Dr. Spain's plush CB2 chair. Oh, yes! And it's not even, like, I feel it. It's drenched. It's dark. Jewy Ashkenazi blood red, just stink. And here's the thing that I am. Here's the person that I am, you guys. I look at it, and I walk out. And I'm just like, go fuck you. $275 an hour in 1999, right? Damn is right. Okay, but I'm sober now. She got me sober. So then I go back, and here's the weird thing. I'm not even embarrassed. I don't ask about it. I don't say, can I pay your dry cleaning? I then do a short film about it called The Red Circle. And my husband, Larry, plays the therapist. And I play the patient, and I revisit it, and it's cathartic, and I owe her an amend. But you know what? I just fucking bled on that bitch's sofa, and I'm sorry, and it happened, and thank you, and that's it.
Fielding Edlow, wow, look at the time. What a great story, on topic.
I feel like in that story, the bloodstained CB2 couch is Kevin Klein.
That's the callback of the night.
Wow. Danny?
I mean, it had overtones of Carrie, which I like. One of my twins is a gymnast, or was a gymnast, and she never likes to have me talk about it, so I thought I'd do it in front of a room full of people that were recording. But got her period her senior year of high school after she sprained her ankle. But the one great thing about that was, you know, where you had all that embarrassment, she called me up. It's like it came. Like there was no, she couldn't have been more proud of her period. So we're very period positive people. Fuck Dr. Spain.
All right, Wendy, you are cringing.
I have so many feelings. First of all, your Dutch friends who went and told everybody?
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that story?
Obviously not us.
My mind is like, oh, yeah. Someone got their period? Let's tell everybody.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
But you free bled.
Yeah, what
therapist.
I don't think they call it that.
No, it's my favorite Lincoln Stan song.
And bleeding, like also with self-tanner, you sit on a couch and you mark your territory.
Oh.
Never apologize.
Just
toss a lit match, walk away.
It's weird because you made me think, but both of your stories, husband and wife, are about having no shame and being who you are. And if people don't leave here empowered, then, you know, that's on you.
Fetterman, anything else?
Well, I'm curious now. This is going to be the embarrassing part. Tell me, you had sex when you were 13?
Yeah. New York City.
You're blaming that on the city.
I don't apologize for that.
Is that a... Okay, this is just a... I'll ask you later,
I'll say. No, you can ask
me. No, is that a usual thing that, like, women, before they have that moment, can have sex a lot, or...
No, that's very unusual.
It's unusual.
I'm sui generis.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I mean...
Look, I have twin girls, and literally only one of them went through that.
Had sex before that period.
Fielding Edlow, let her hear it, you guys. Fielding Edlow.
Right? Oh, my God, yeah. I literally blocked that part of the story out.
What an exciting night this has been, you guys. And now the very, very difficult task is at hand, where you guys have to choose
difficult.
A winner. And you've got two names, so take a look at those names. Put a minute on the clock.
Okay, we got it.
One more time, a big round of applause for Julian in the back. Thanks, Julian. Yeah. Julie at the bar. Jim Coughlin to my right. Lindsay's at the box office. Say hi to Lindsay on the way out. She works so hard. Tickets are available right now, you guys, for the next show, June 22nd at 7 o'clock, right here, back in the lab. And don't forget that this show will be podcast on the Storyworthy Podcast. And we're celebrating our two-year anniversary in July, hopefully in the main room. That's the goal. We're working on it. Yes, I hope so as well. And again, they're going to be winning my homemade chocolate chip cookies as the prize.
Yeah.
So you can see there's something to this. Yes, it's exciting. A lot of great people in the audience tonight. I don't know if you realize this. Mike Schmidt is over there. Mike Schmidt, very,
oh, yeah,
very popular comedian.
Great podcast.
Paul Bono is here.
Yeah!
Oh. One of my very favorite people from Cyprus. And I don't mean Cyprus in California. I mean Cyprus by Greece. Maria Vatuma is here. Maria in the back. A lot of people are here.
Somebody from Cypress Hill is here?
No, not Cypress Hill. God damn it. All right, you guys, this is exciting. You guys are going to now announce the winner of Story Smash and Wendy McClendon Covey. Who is that winner?
Well, we there was a lot of deliberation.
Okay.
It was rough.
We the main thing we want to do with this decision is drive a wedge in that relationship. Right?
Totally.
We want to make it a very difficult night for them.
Yeah. So Wendy,
you can.
Congratulations, Larry Clark!
Yay!
Oh my God!
Big round of applause for everybody who played tonight. Rachel O'Brien, Mike.